This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by the Parent House. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Today we begin a five-part series looking at education in Douglas County, smack dab in the middle of the school year and right after the two-week break for the kids. Superintendent Jared Corden of Roseburg Public Schools, thanks for coming back in.
My pleasure. Great to be here. Thank you.
So how has the first few months gone for you as superintendent?
That's been great. I often think of Henry Ford, who once said, you can't build a reputation on what you're going to do. So I've been out doing, getting to know our kids and our staff, our community. It's been really wonderful. I love our staff and our kids, our board. I've been bonding with the community and trying to have an eye open and an ear open to things we're doing well and things we need to get better at.
What are some of the recent things you've been working on?
Well, that's a broad question. I think making sure every student that walks in our doors is receiving the highest quality of education they can every day in every class. That means getting to know our staff, supporting them and the things they need to meet the student needs. It also means getting to our systems and in some instances changing or creating new systems. There's always seems to be something you're working on right in front of you, something a little bit out mid-range and long-range. Been working on a lot of communication planning. We got a new website that's going to launch hopefully here in March. A couple new programs. We've got a foster education program that we have been working on, and that's been fun. A strategic plan that's kind of a three-year plan, and then, of course, working on a capital improvement bond, which is kind of a current and out to about 50-year plan.
So a lot of different things. It seems like you've pretty much hit the ground running.
Yeah. I think there's always that time for introspection. You want to ask questions and be wondering about kind of how things are working. But it is definitely hitting the ground running, asking questions, getting to work. I think it was Gandhi that once said there's two kinds of people who do the work and people who take the credit. And he said, be in the first group, there's less competition there. So I'm trying to stay in that first group of just getting out and getting to work.
So one of the things I wanted to ask you about, we talked before about this bond levy. Where do things stand? Is the levy for sure? Are things still being worked out? Where is it?
Yeah, so let me talk a little bit about where things stand. I'll start by saying this. We believe really strongly in listening to the community. Because of that belief, we've invested in doing some polling that helps us quantify where the community stands with certain things. We've completed the first poll, and that's kind of testing a broad range of ideas. We went back to the community with a second poll that's just finishing up now to see to learn more about the community support with specific items. I can talk about those here in a second. So that's where we're at right now. We do anticipate there'll be a bond levy in May of this year, May 2020. But we're listening to the community to see what their support is. Right now, in terms of what it would cover, we're looking at items like safety and security improvements across the district. Of course, protecting the community's large investment they have in terms of renovations and repairs. New gyms at our elementary schools that would be open as a community to the community's emergency shelters in the event of a natural disaster or emergency, as well as year-round community programs. Some improvements at the middle school that would provide enhanced vocational and career technical ed opportunities. Then we've also testing the idea of either renovating or repairing a building that's called currently the Heritage Building. It's also been called the Old Main, but it was the original Roseburg High School building built in somewhere between 1924 and 1926.
So a lot of different things there. What's your timeline for getting an exact direction as to what you're going to put out there?
We're close. We have a board meeting on the 15th, not this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday, where we will get a specific report from the polling firm to answer some questions we have in terms of what the poll's telling us. And we will likely file in February. So we really want to make sure we have a clear understanding of the community support around each of these items.
So not on the table, it doesn't sound like then, is like, for instance, building a new school or replacing an entire facility or anything right. like that.
Right. We did ask that question the first poll, and the strong consensus of our community was keep the community schools. Those are important. The build of a new school, at least in this round of polling, people felt like it was more important to repair what we currently have, keep up to date what we currently have.
So then with the, now do you have a dollar figure, or is that still be determined?
Yeah, the one we tested on was $1.27 per thousand. Again, we have an expiring bond that's about 65 cents that's going to expire by the time the next levy would kick in. So $94 million total bond, $1.27.
And so by doing a lot of different small things versus, for instance, one or two large projects.
Yeah, we try to take a look again at what our most immediate needs were. We right before I got here in July, there was a long-range facilities plan that helped kind of guide the work. We've done quite a bit of work in terms of, you know, what projects need to be done kind of immediately, what could be maybe repaired, and how to be good stewards of those dollars going forward.
So what are your current top priorities for Roseburg Schools?
Well, those would probably come as part of the strategic plan, which we have most recently put together. There were five main areas. So if I had to say right now my top priorities, the first would be around safe and inclusive environments. Every kid, every family feels safe and heard and respected as they walk into our buildings, that we have systems in place where kids are going to be safe. Effective operations, that we can align our resources to support exceptional learning environments. Always working on the instructional leadership component with leadership development. We're needing to develop some more systems that are more data-informed, and then working on this idea of instruction. How do we provide the most appropriate and timely instruction for each of our kids?
And where do you go with these ideas? How do you make them from the point they are now into sort of reality, if you will?
Yeah, that's the fun part of the work, to take that visionary component in terms of what a board wants and our objectives and to operationalizing these. So this becomes the role of why you have a superintendent.
So you mentioned some of the ideas under the potential bond project that might come out there. And one thing you mentioned was from the polling, what the community was saying, put a lot of emphasis, it seems like, in communicating with the community, especially being new here. Do you feel like that's helped you?
Well, it's been helpful for me. It's been really, really helpful for me to better understand kind of where the community is. One thing that was interesting, our first poll that went out, one glaring epiphany for me was that most of our patrons didn't know what happened in schools. The not sure was a common response when asked about schools. So what's been great is being out in the community is when you can answer questions, when our community finds out that there's things happening around civics and the Constitution, around vocational ed, these things that oftentimes our community isn't sure is happening. Those have been great for me to help explain, and also for me to listen. I think any investments you make in listening to a community are always positive.
Now, you mentioned the idea of renovating some gyms with the idea of also including the community if needed in a disaster situation. How do you renovate a gym and keep the school, you know, in the middle of a school year, or can you do it all in the summer? How would that work?
Yeah, so we've actually done some renovations in gym spaces. Currently here in our school district of our eight elementary schools, we have only three that have a dedicated gym. Five of them have a gym and a cafeteria together, which makes it difficult to do PE, and there are, we definitely want kids to be active and moving. So what we have done is we have applied for some seismic rehabilitation dollars and have been awarded those in a few schools where we've made some structural improvements to those gyms. These gyms that we're talking about would actually be detached gyms that would be a full court length, and you could run courts either way. But they would be detached, so they could actually be built while school is happening. and would be great for immediate occupancy in the event of some kind of emergency, but would also provide a great community resource for activities and athletics that could happen in our community year-round.
And do you have space on a lot of the campuses to land one of these buildings?
Yeah, we think most we do. There's one in particular that I kind of wonder where we might put that in. But yeah, we've got a plan that we believe we could fit them in where we need them. Yep.
Going to take a break at Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Superintendent Jared Corden at Roseburg Public Schools. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming at 1 on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Lisa Platt with Talking Health, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. And Superintendent Terry Prestiani of the Sutherland School District on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. Jared Corden of Roseburg Public Schools in this afternoon. Anything new in terms of programs that you've added or are getting ready to add to the district, or new positions you've put in place, things like that?
Most recently, we do have actually one position that we are interviewing for tomorrow, in fact, for round one interviews. That is a district safety coordinator position. I'm excited about this position. I've often said that if you have a goal without funding, that's just a hope, and a hope is a bad strategy. We all know that we want to keep our kids safe and our community safe, and we really don't have a safety coordinator. We've had ad hoc committees that are doing that work. So a district safety coordinator position, we were able to fund from SAFE rebates over the last several years. So we're funding that position that way. That is a new position. That'll be a central position, and we'll support all students and buildings, and I'm excited for that position. In terms of new programs, the only one I recently, just a few minutes ago, referenced this, but we do have a foster education program that will start at Rose Elementary School on Wednesday. Kids have been served at Phoenix Charter School, and we've worked in cooperation with a couple different agencies to start a program for these students there that we believe will be a real bellwether opportunity for foster youth here in Douglas County.
Now, back to the safety coordinator position for a moment. Have you seen that in place in other districts?
I have. It is a common thing, and it's a common position in districts across the country. We do have some examples here in Oregon as well. Again, the position is a district safety coordinator position. So I think in this first year, the goal is to ensure that we have systems in place to respond to a variety of safety incidents. And this would be proactive preparation and planning, how to respond, scenario training, providing support with that. It's a position that we need, in my opinion, and a position I'm excited to have. I think many districts would like to have one. I've heard from several, we've had several districts reach out to ask for our process or posting, and many are interested to see kind of how this position works in Roseburg. And these are districts both smaller and larger than us.
So what kind of background are you seeking for someone that would occupy that job?
Yeah, we are happy to share the posting, but the position needs to have it's kind of a unique position, but it'll need to have a combination of understanding safety, everything from tactical response to kind of systems development, if you will. We want them to have an understanding of what schools are and how schools operate, but also a good understanding of how to work with law enforcement partners. This needs to be a position that kind of sometimes a single position can be a multiplier type position where one position can actually can do the work of many. And I think in here it needs to be how to serve our schools and community, but how to partner with folks in our community to increase everything from logistics to response time to coordination.
And do you have a timeline as to when you want that person to begin working?
Yeah, we'll have a few rounds of interviews. We actually had 14 applicants for the position. Several were in-state. We had out-of-state applicants as well. We have 5 candidates we're excited to interview starting tomorrow. I'd like to have this position hired for with an offer extended and hopefully a position in place by mid-February.
Among the things that you've talked about before, student behavior issues, I mean, we're hearing about that really around the country is becoming an increasing issue. How do you deal with those?
Yeah, folks I talk to around our state and around the country, I think this has and continues to be, and probably might continue to be, something we need to figure out how to do a little bit better. I often try to frame this, though, with the idea that behavior is just communication. And so trying to get to what the function of the behavior is, what the antecedent to the behavior is, I think, where we need to do some of our work. Of course, we need to be calm and consistent in our response. But what we're learning is we have kids coming to us that are dysregulated. And part of the work of teaching and learning, which wasn't always the case, I don't think, years ago, is really to how to help kids be in a space that they're regulated so that they can learn. So some of this is staff training. Some of this is just us understanding kind of how the brain works a little bit more. A lot of this is reaching out and connecting to families and helping them understand what regulation means and how to support that in their own homes. But the more we've seen kind of the fracturing of the family, and more we see things like opioid abuse and substance abuse and dysregulation in general, I think we should almost anticipate that we'll continue to see more students coming to us in our schools that might be struggling with that as a result of what's going on at home. So it's really a collective community response, and remembering that when kids are, when there is behavior, they're typically trying to communicate that something's wrong.
And now you've worked with Compass Mental Health and some things before. Is there the idea of bringing in more counselor and psychological based positions?
Yeah, we've got some really great resources in this community. And I think some really smart people, much smarter than I am, have come up with some really ingenious ways to support kids. We definitely have some resources in our school district that many school districts would be envious of. Are they enough? I don't know if they're enough. And are they the right ones? We believe they're good, but I think more definitely is probably needed.
Now, you talked about the bond, but also when you talk about school funding, sometimes there's an opportunity to go out, grant write, get money from other sources. How have you been involved working on that so far?
Yeah, that's, first of all, I'll just say, we're trying to make sure that we're getting a strong return for every dollar that we spend. And trying to make sure we understand, are we getting the return on the money we're spending, and are we spending money on the right things? So I think before we look at getting more money to help, I really want to be a good fiscal steward to say, the money we do have, we're going to use well. That being said, we're always looking for ways to help fund the things that we know are priorities. A couple things out there right now we're working on. We did actually, just as an aside, have a external audit by KDP Certified Accountants. They do 4 audits. It's an external audit, about a month-long process. Our district received the highest rating you can get, actually, on that in terms of fiscal responsibility. I think it's important for people to know. We have received a couple grants recently. The state of Oregon, we received a grant for $5.88 million to support the bond if it passes. That's important for people to know. We've applied for seismic grant funds to not have to use general fund dollars that are intended to help kids in classrooms, to do some seismic upgrades. We have 4 schools recently we've done that for, been awarded those grants and completed those. We will continue to apply for those as well. We also received for the foster youth education program, we received a $1 million grant from the Department of Human Services to help support that as well. So always looking for ways to find revenue when we believe there's something we can do to help support kids in a systemic way.
And do you feel like from the Department of Human Services, there will be an opportunity to get additional grant funding for future years up the road for what you're trying to do with that program?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things we're going to do with the legislature. It's a short session in Salem, and so there's some things we need to look at in terms of, this was probably more of a one-time idea. They were compelled by an idea. We met with them and said, we think we can create something better for these kids, and we think you should fund it. And they said, if you could create that, we would fund it. So we're not sure if the legislature will find a way to fund this long-term or DHS will. but we're going to look at the foster education program we're calling Horizons and take a look and see how that return has gone.
After being here for a few months, looking ahead, how do you want Roseburg Public Schools to be different in 5 years than they are today?
You know, I think there's definitely some great things we're doing that we want to continue to do. But I think at the end of the day, if I think of 5 years, you know, we want to make sure that every student that goes into our schools has a meaningful, incredible learning experience where they're excited about learning, they're excited about their future, they're excited about what they can do, and that our community is excited about what that is because they know that those kiddos are going to go, you know, into professions that are going to support the community. I really hope, and I feel like this is happening right now, that we see our community embracing our schools as their schools and as a real community treasure. That they say, hey, we're really proud of our schools and we know what happens there. And because of that, we're really supportive of what's happening there.
About 30 seconds left on Inside Douglas County. What are some of the things on your plate for the rest of the week, things you're working on?
Let's see. We've got our district safety coordinator position tomorrow. We are hosting Wednesday morning our second, what we're calling Safer Together meeting with multiple agencies. That'll be at the Public Safety Center from 8 to 9:30. Working with a Spanish-speaking advisory group Wednesday evening at Unity Church down the street here. And we've got a board meeting coming up to discuss some polling data.
All right, Superintendent Jared Corden, there's an update of things going on in the Roseburg Public Schools. Thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Thank you. My pleasure.
1257 News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by The Parent House. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.